chapter 32. This is the story of Jacob. And we're going to start in verse 9. We're just going to read through the scriptures. I personally just feel the Lord dealing with my heart, which is always a good thing in these verses. And I felt the Holy Spirit pointing a few specific things out in this particular account of Jacob and his wrestling, and also in Psalm 13. So let's just start in Genesis chapter 32, beginning with verse 9. And we're going to do a little bit of reading, but then we'll focus in on a few specific verses. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And Jacob lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau, his brother, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, Pass over before me, put a space between drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, When Esau my brother meets you, and asks you, saying, Whose art thou? And where goest thou? And whose are these before thee? Then you should say, They are thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, also he is behind us. And so commanded he the second and the third, and all that followed the droves, saying, On this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with these presents that go before me. And afterwards, when I see his face, perhaps he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And Jacob arose up that night, and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them, and he sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he had prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, which means manipulator or supplanter, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place, the face of God, Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he limped upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because God touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew, and that shrank. So these are the verses from the book of Genesis that we are going to look at. And again, the title is Wrestle Through. And I'm sure you all noticed in this story, in this account, that Jacob had mistreated Esau. We all remember that he had stolen his birthright years before. And I am sure that, and he stole it through manipulation and deception, and we all know the story. And at this point, Jacob, many years later, has accumulated much wealth and a family, and he is fearful of running into Esau on his way back home because he knows how he has mistreated his brother. And he's afraid, and he's afraid of what Esau is going to do to that which he loves. And so Jacob, as we just read, sends presents before him in several different groups that are going before he will meet his brother. He has several groups of his own people who are going to meet Esau first with presents on the behalf of Jacob to make it where Esau will be okay with Jacob. And Jacob is just so fearful, and he's so fearful based on the fact deep in his heart and conscience that he knows he did him wrong, and that Esau has a right to be upset. So he continues to send everything ahead of him, or trying to protect things and doing it in a certain way, but the main thing is self-preservation and even manipulation and even just any other manner of making it through, like Jacob's always done. He's employing to get past his brother without a loss or a catastrophe to himself and his family. So the night before he's going to meet him, before Jacob's going to meet Esau, we look at verse 24, chapter 32. And it says, "And Jacob was left alone." I think that is so important. But let's, before we really look at that, let's look at the verse above it, verse 23. It says, "And Jacob took them and sent them over the brook." These are his, you know, his family that he loves. And he's sending them away for their safety. And he's also sending with them the rest of everything he has. So Jacob has pretty much given everything external to himself to make this situation okay. And now he is by himself. And it is in this place that Jacob wrestles with a man until the breaking of the day. And we all know that that man is actually God. And Jacob is wrestling with God all night long. And last week we talked about stirring Jesus up in us in crisis and getting him to the surface where he can give us his life and move through us because we cannot handle the things that come upon us. But this is a similar situation, but yet a different angle. And I just feel it so much in my own heart, where there are times where we are put in situations, or even in our own spiritual walk, we feel it deep inside, where it's time to wrestle. It's time to wrestle with God. It is time to stay up all night long and wrestle. And it's funny because the name Israel, which is the name that was given Jacob after he wrestled with God, but it is also the name for all the people of God after that, the name actually means wrestle. So if you say, "I'm an Israelite," in the Hebrew, part of what you're actually declaring is, "I'm a wrestler. I wrestle with God." And, you know, we might feel like it's wrong to wrestle. It's wrong to persevere. I'm talking just really wrestling with God. And Jacob did that. He wrestled all night long. And that wrestling was probably on a heart and a gut and a soul, dealing with those things that haven't come to the light of Christ, that haven't come to that place where it is really, it is the Lord in us. And we are so reliant on our old ways. We're so reliant on the things that worked for us in the past. We're so reliant on the Jesus we kind of knew based on our father Abraham and based on the forefathers who've come before us and their relationships with God. But it's like I haven't broke through into seeing God's face for myself. I haven't broke through the darkness of all my old ways that still motivate me. I haven't got the Lamb of God in me on the throne where he's the Prince of my life. it's still me riding the coattails of this tradition and this culture and this family thing that I've been gathered into. But I want to see the face of God. I want to wrestle until I see his face. I want to wrestle until I'm changed and it's his image. It's not the old dark manipulation supplanter Jacob. It's Jesus. It's not the Jesus where I have to say, what's your name? And he teaches me a class on what his name means. And it's so funny, at the end, God wouldn't tell him what his name was. He said, why would I need to tell you my name when we wrestled all night and you saw my face? You saw my face. That's my name. You've seen me for your own self. You've seen me for your own self. And to get the Lord like that, to get the Lord in that level, takes so much heart. So much heart. And not that we're declaring our own love or our own hearts, but there's something in us that doesn't let go. And if you look at that point where, and let's find the verse here. Verse 26, where God says to Jacob, let me go. The day is breaking. The night's on, our wrestling time's over. Let me go. This season of trying to find me, this wrestling and trying to press in and figure this out and gain me and see me and know me and be transformed from the inside out, it's done. Maybe it's, oh, you've graduated from Bible school, or that season of seeking the Lord is over, or God moved it and I missed it. It's time to let me go. It's time to just stay Jacob. It's time to just deep inside know it's still the old stuff in there. And Jacob said, I will not let you go. I will not let you go. This is God. He's saying that. He's saying to God, I won't let you go. I unlawfully so will not release you until I am changed. Until I am changed. Except you bless me with your image, with your likeness, with changing me deep inside where it's no longer I but Christ. I will not. I will not. And that's when God began to change him. And the change came in a weakening of him. Instead of Jacob getting stronger, and instead of him being strengthened in himself, instead of him being wiser and better and sharper and clearer and more Christ-like, if you will, God whacked him in his thigh and weakened him in his walk and brought him to a place of dependency on God that he'd never, ever had. A dependency on God. A new relationship where he wasn't going to persevere through in his own strength, but he was going to find the living God, the face of God, the life of God inside of him. It changed his walk. It changed everything. And you see it in verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And you know, it's funny because if you really are in that place where Jacob came to before he, when he was that night of wrestling, where you're at the end, you know your only hope is transformation, that it can't no longer be the old ways, the old you, the old relationship based on what others have taught you, that you've got to see his face. You've got to be changed. It's got to be Jesus in a real way. That man, that my life is preserved. You're saying, man, I'm dead. I've got the life of Jesus. You know, that I think that wounding in his, or that weakening in his thigh or whatever, that's just a picture of the cross ending us so that we walk now by another life. And that cross preserves our life so that we can continue on. And it can be Christ. And God can continue to use us and proliferate his seed through us. Because it's not us any longer. We are crucified. We've been weakened unto death because we were weakened unto death when we were crucified with Christ. And God applied the reality of that death to Jacob that day, where it smote him, where it affected him. It brought him down. It changed his walk, where it was no longer Jacob, but it was the Prince Christ, the Prince of Life in him. You know, it's a picture of that in the Old Testament. It's a type and shadow of what happens to us when the cross really reaches, really, really reaches us. But there's a wrestling. And there's a wrestling that goes on to gain that in a real way that changes us. And that's where we're going to look at Psalm 13. And I'm just going to read that. I don't want to go super long because I always tend to go too long. And I'm trying not to do that because it is a blog. So I'm going to go to Psalm 13 and just start reading. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? Listen to this word in light of Peniel, in light of Jacob's wrestling. How long will you hide your face from me? Not from my teachers, not from my friends, not from my fathers and those who've gone before in the generations. How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my own soul, like Jacob was doing, figuring things out, how to get through this crisis, how to appease Esau, how to make it through this trauma or this hardship or this situation? How long will I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes. Let me see your face. Lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But remember, the enemies didn't prevail over Jacob. God prevailed. And he prevailed over Jacob by applying a death that brought forth the life of Jesus, the life of God. But I have trusted, verse 5 here, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And this is that faith, you know, that's rising up in that heart of a person who is wrestling with God and feeling their darkness and feeling their old soul trying to give bad counsel on how to deal with stuff and feeling their heart fail and feeling the need for God to shine his face out of their heart, lighten their life with Jesus. And they just say, man, I'm going to continue to believe the reality that I am dead with Christ. I'm going to persevere and trust and rejoice and sing. And, you know, I don't think that that's just saying everything's okay. I'm just going to be satisfied with where I'm at because my faith will be enough, just faith that it's true. But releasing to God, I know your heart. I know that in the middle of this darkness, in the middle of this situation that is making me tremble and fear, you want to wrestle. You want to, you and I, nobody else, nothing else, no other situation, not even what Esau did or what all the presents are, not even my family, not even all the things. Just you and me face to face, God, you've cornered me to wrestle. And I want to wrestle until I'm changed. And I don't want to let go. And I trust your heart in this. I know you've already made me one based on the cross, the mercy of God, that you already crucified your son so I could have your life. I believe in that and that you have dealt bountifully with me on Calvary. And I want that to be real. If you've bought it, make it real in me. If you bought it with scars when you offered up your son, make it real in me. All the way, more than I have it now. I'm not satisfied. I need more. I need more, God, and I'm not saying it to anyone but to you. I'm not wrestling with anyone but you. I'm not bringing anything else into this, but I need to know you and see your face. I need to be changed. This is between me and God. This is between me and my God. And that heart just starts pressing in. That heart just starts saying, I love you. And I want you more. And I can't let go. I can't let go until I get you in a more real way than I have you. Until I am changed and it is you. And so we just say, thank you, Lord, that we are, as Paul called us in the end of the letter to the Galatians, we're the true Israel of God. Those who have been circumcised in heart. Those who have believed into Christ through his death, and that we are the wrestlers now because we are one with Jesus, because we are partakers of this inheritance, because we've been brought into this royal lineage. We're part of this seed and this generation of this seed. We are that Israel of God. The Bible says so. Paul declared it. And we will wrestle in our generation until we see his face. We will wrestle in our generation until we gain his life. It is our time to wrestle until we really know him. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you that the word of God prevails when it's more than a teaching, when it's a person who has bought us with scars and who wants to gain us all the way and possess our inward parts, change our name by changing our nature. Lord, that's you. That's you. That's you. We love you, and we appeal to your heart. We appeal to your desire. We appeal to what the Bible has testified has been your plan from the beginning, from the very beginning, fathers of the faith, till this very moment. And Lord, we ask that your mercy would be upon us, that your eternal purpose would be upon us in our circumstances, that your eternal counsel would overshadow the counsels of our own darkened hearts, that we would wrestle till we see your face and are changed, Lord, that you would have your way, that you'd have mercy on us. Yeah, bring forth Christ, not just in our circumstance, but in us. Lord, we trust you, we do. We believe that you've dealt bountifully with us based on the finished work of the cross. Make it so. Make it real. Mark us with it. Let it reach us all the way. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love, your faithfulness, and your care in these eternal ways. We pray these things in Jesus' name.